Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. If you've been listening to the show very long, you know that I'm into nutrition, fitness. I love those things. So I'm pumped to be able to partner with Titan Nutrition. I'm a big supporter of Titan Nutrition. I use a lot of their products. Titan Nutrition is one of the most trusted and respected supplement brands in the industry. You can go to supplement stores all across the country and find their products. They have a wide variety of supplements such as protein and vitamins, pre-workouts, superfoods. I use almost all of those personally. They're backed by CGMP, which is Greater Manufacturing Practices. They use FDA monitor facilities and third-party testing, super important. So personally, when I'm taking these products, I want to make sure that they work well, they're tested, and I can trust them for my entire family. Now, you can go to their website at titannutrition.net, check out some of the amazing protein flavors like cinnamon roll, cherry bomb berry, strawberry sorbet. They have a wide variety of others. I'm a huge fan of all their chocolate flavors. And then the cinnamon roll is phenomenal. So use the discount code. This is my discount code for you guys listening to the podcast. It is Coach P, and you'll get yourself a 10% discount and free shipping, which that's huge, right? So you can also click on the link in the show notes. Again, that's titannutrition.net with the discount code Coach P. All right, promise you guys won't be disappointed. Go and check out Titan Nutrition. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Perspective Podcast with Coach P. I'm pumped. See, I have on Ty Zimmerman. So a little bit about Ty, then I'm going to have him share his background. But I played football for K-State, and I know he's a really humble guy, but he was an absolute hammer for K-State safety. Couple-time, first team All-Big 12. He's a college All-American. If you get on and you can look at K-State's site, you can see he's got a list there of all the things that he's done. Third on interceptions and for all-time. And anyway, got to do a little stint with the Saints. And then Ty currently, this is really cool. It's actually how we connected, but he is the area director for Fellowship of Christian Athletes for the north central part of Kansas. So we're both here in Kansas. And I actually just started with the FCA. So I'll eventually do a podcast and talk about that journey. But anyway, so man, Ty, thanks for, let me say too, real quick, the most important thing, husband and dad. So Jesus follower, husband and dad, most important things, but thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to chatting it up.
Absolutely. So, well, let's do this, man, so that people can kind of get to know you a little bit. Tell us about your background, where you grew up at, and we have a lot of athletes and coaches that listen to this, so maybe some about your sports background.
Yeah, for sure. Grew up in Junction City, Kansas, spent most of my life here. Moved there when I was like 4 or 5. My dad's a teacher and a coach, so he's been coaching a long time. So moved here for when he took that job. Mom's into real estate. Good community to grow up in. I, four sport athlete growing up, played football, basketball, track, and baseball. I know you're a wrestling guy. I tried wrestling one time, had a bad experience. So stuck with basketball. Got a lot of respect for wrestlers for sure. But four sport athlete growing up, going through high school. I wasn't really highly recruited. Had kind of a jump athletically from my junior year to my senior year, just with hitting the weight room hard and some of my times dropping and all those kind of things. And had a lot of success high school-wise. I mean, won a state championship my senior year, which was a really cool experience. Only had one Division I offer coming out, and that was to K-State as a gray shirt. And so I signed there because I just wanted to play ball. So I joined over there spring of 2010 and started out as an athlete. So started at the quarterback position, and obviously at the college level, that playbook's really thick. So there's a lot of a lot of just learning curve involved with that. And a few practices into spring ball, the defensive back coach at the time approached me, and as I was walking out of the complex, actually, and said, "Hey, man, I like how you move. Would love to have you try over, you know, defense and see how that works out. And I just want to get on the field. I want to play special teams." So I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it." So my very, I remember I had, I think, a meeting the next day, a walkthrough, and then my very first practice was a full scrimmage, our very first full scrimmage. I still had a green quarterback jersey on, trying to figure out everything on the back end. He was barking out commands behind me, and but just kind of fell in love with it from that point on, the physicality, and of course being able to get on special teams and all that kind of stuff. So kind of stuck around there and had a lot of success. Right out as a freshman, started the second game, I think, of the season after a guy got hurt, and it kind of stuck. So 4 years started there, and ended up, like you said, had a short opportunity to play with the Saints, got picked up as a free agent in 2014. Ended up having my fourth surgery in like 3.5 years after I tore my labrum there in the preseason. And so, I think there's a reason why people say that the NFL stands for not for long. Because if you're not a big contract guy, it's really hard to stick around because there's just so many athletes there. And so playing career kind of ended 2015, and then kind of got into teaching and coaching. Ended up taking this job with FCA after I came to know Jesus around 2016. So it's been a fun journey.
Yeah, so real quick, knowing, going back, so growing up, as a coach's son, you're around the sport a lot, right? So my dad was a wrestling coach, but also a football coach. So I was like, I grew up in the locker rooms. I was watching film with the football coaches when I was a kid. I was a ball boy, but I was in there. And so whenever you moved over at K-State, whenever you moved over at safety, do you feel like your background, like as a QB and then like as a coach's son, all that allowed you to make that adjustment a little quicker?
Absolutely. I felt like the mental side came very naturally for me. I mean, some of my earliest, you probably same way. Some of my earliest memories as a child were just hanging out at the practice field. I'd get done with school and my mom would just drop me off at the practice field. And, my parents at their house, they still have pictures of me when I was little, hanging out with my dad and drawing plays up. I remember having notebooks when I was, middle school, high school, drawing plays and coming up with stuff on my own and things like that. So the mental side came very natural. Even when I gray shirted, a gray shirt, you kind of take the first semester off. And so I was back home, taking a couple classes and kind of helping out on the coaching side. And so that even in itself gave me a different perspective, because, when you're playing from a football perspective, at least, like, film study is huge. But when you're playing, all you're really looking at is yourself, seeing how you're performing and all that kind of stuff. But seeing the coach's perspective of what goes into studying each week for an opponent, all that kind of stuff, really propelled me, moving forward. It was tough taking that semester off, and all my friends are going off to college, and it was a struggle there for a while, but it paid off big time, setting kind of a foundation, like you said, moving on to the defensive side of the ball, and the X's and O's part came a lot more natural. And, even I tell guys all the time, when you make it to that level, athletically, you have all the gifts that you need to excel, but you can really separate yourself on the mental side. And I think so many guys neglect that. But just film study, handling the grind, there's so many guys that are way more, athletic than I was, but, just knowing X's and O's, understanding schemes, really understanding what an offense is trying to accomplish, all that kind of stuff really helps you play a lot faster, on Saturdays.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you play some defense in high school too? I mean, I'm sure you're probably all over the field, but.
Yeah, no, I was quarterback and punter, basically. My dad started two platooning. I mean, some of my, even when I was, before I got to high school, so we only played one side of the ball. We had enough guys there in Junction to be able to do that. I mean, I would step in, I think, my senior year, end of the half moments, or, when we actually, playing prevent defense or just needed some athletes on the field, but nothing ever consistent. He played safety in college, so it's probably in my DNA a little bit, but I didn't play full time until I got to K-State.
Okay. Yeah. So that's good to know. And for those who are here in Kansas, we know JC is it's a huge school, and man, those who've got to see the new school and facilities, it is incredible. Mm. And the new high school and new football field, just absolutely awesome. But, so talking about, with your dad being a coach, how was that? So I want to go back and relate a couple of things here. One is, and I'm real blessed with my athletes, man. A lot of my athletes are 2 and 3 sport athletes, and we're a 5A school. Mm-hmm. You guys are 6A. So both bigger schools, right? But a lot of ours are still two and three sport athletes. You were a four sport athlete. So dad being coach one, and then also being in multiple sports like that, do you feel like that was also a benefit to you? Because we're in a day and age, right, where a lot of people specialize. And some people, I think maybe that's okay for them, right? It's good for them. And some people, not as much. So what are some of your thoughts on getting to play all these different sports?
Yeah, I 100% agree. And my dad, I mean, I've watched him, obviously, since I was young. And he's been at Junction, I don't know, probably coming up on 30 years now, coaching at a couple other spots before that. And this whole time has been kind of that one consistent message about getting in the weight room, developing yourself athletically and play multiple sports. Cause you're right. I think today's day and age with the specialization and playing the one sport year round, you know, I think what gets dangled in front of, especially like parents, what gets dangled in front of their eyes is, you know, the D1 scholarship, got to make it big, and the fear of missing out if I'm not playing on this, you know, fall ball team or the spring, you know, volleyball team, whatever. 7-on-7 stuff is popping up now. But I think, playing basketball, playing baseball, playing track, you just develop a different side. I mean, number one, you're staying in competition mode year round. But number two, I think you're developing just different tools to put in your tool bag, so to speak. I mean, the way you move on a basketball court is so much different than the way you move on the football court. And you know, I didn't like track very much, but I knew when I was going over to K-State, I needed to get faster. And man, when you're running 100s, 200s, 400s, all those kind of things for a spring, that's going to develop some strength in running that you wouldn't get, you know, just running sprints on the field. So that part, and then, man, you don't know how, you know, what you're going to develop in as a 16, 17, 18 year old kid. And so, yeah, we try to push that on our kids as much as possible. I think you look at any guy at any level. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the big example right now in football. And it's like, people always talk about how good he was at baseball, and all the arm action you see on Sundays is a result of him as an infielder doing those kind of things. Same thing with, you know, I'm a big LeBron fan, and it's like, if you ever watch some of his high school football film, it's crazy. And probably the physicality that he has now is developed there on the football field. And, you know, as a defensive coach myself, I think some of our best defensive guys are wrestlers, right? Because they know how to move their body. They're tough. They're physical. They know how to get guys down, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think the multi-sport athlete is 100% the way to go. And I think the more sports you can play, the more success you're going to have at whatever your passion is. Because I'm, you know, as a football coach, you probably feel the same way as a wrestling coach. I'm totally fine if a kid says, hey, I want to play college baseball or I want to play college basketball. Go for it. But it's like, man, developing yourself here on Friday nights throughout the fall is going to better you on the diamond. It's going to better you, you know, on the court. And so trying to help them succeed in whatever avenue they're passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great examples too, right? So Mahomes and LeBron, those guys, I mean, great examples. I am even though I didn't attend there, I grew up in Oklahoma. I am a diehard Sooner fan. I love OU. K-State is like the inside, the antithesis, the thorn in the side of OU. But, you know, if you look at Kyler Murray, I mean, hammer baseball player, right? And same thing, he can throw it all different angles and, you know, on the run. And it just, yeah, you kind of see it over and over with a lot of these guys. And as I've coached over the years, you know, I have a few athletes who just wrestle and end up being great wrestlers, right? But overall, it's really cool to sit back and watch the athletes that do multiple sports. You can just see different skill sets, man. You can see different strengths. And sometimes that's a different mental strength. Sometimes it's a different agility ability, because I'm like, man, I can tell with this guy's footwork, like, because he's a running back or whatever, you know, that plays in wrestling. So when it comes in, so yeah, I'm a huge fan too. And then, like you said, with getting kids to college, I mean, I think we have 7 or 8 kids wrestling in college right now, but we have probably another 5, 6, 7 from our wrestling program that are doing a different sport in college currently, you know, which is awesome. So if they can go and play a college sport, that's incredible, right? Getting to go to school and then do the sport that you love. It's just, what a better opportunity, or what a great opportunity. So excellent. All right. Well, I want to talk about your coaching a little bit. And you mentioned earlier, you know, the mental side. What are some of the things that you do whenever you're working with athletes to maybe help them with their headspace a little bit, with the mindset side? Because I know, like, when I was growing up, it was like, and not the hard work doesn't matter, right? I don't know anyone who's highly successful that doesn't work hard. It's just part of it. It's just built. Mm-hmm. But used to, it was just sort of like, ah, just go harder. And now we know that there's a lot we probably should be doing mentally. But so what are some of the things that you guys do to work with your athletes on that part?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, we were just talking about, before we started this, we were talking about just the upcoming summer and, you know, the workouts and all that kind of stuff. We try as much as possible to let our kids be kids, right? To tell them, man, go to the pool, go get a job, go hang out with your friends, all that kind of stuff. You know, when we're here in the weight room, get your work in, you know, for this hour, hour and a half, we'll get some field work in. But don't feel like you have to be at the school for 8 hours a day, every single day to keep up with every single sport. You know, so developing that kind of foundation for sure throughout the summer. I always try to tell my guys, man, I think it was Ray Lewis that talked about he worked so hard in his off season stuff to where, man, when he got to Sundays, it was a lot, not easy, but easier, right, on his body, because he was so used to just putting himself in those situations. So try to hone that in on our kids. We do some off the field development stuff, some senior retreats and things like that going into the season. But as far as like the X's and O's side for me, I'm really big on helping our kids understand the why behind what we're doing. Cause I always tell them, like in meetings, like I can give you the what, I can tell you, you know, that we're playing cover four in this situation, or we're manning up, or we're bringing a blitz off the edge in this situation. But until you understand why we're doing it, I don't think it's really going to stick. And so I try, I mean, if this is a simple thing, this is not like revolutionary, but I try as much as I can to, instead of giving answers to our kids, I'm always asking questions, right? Like, hey, tell me where you're lining up here. And he'll tell me, okay, why you need to line up here, right? Well, it's a 3-by-1. I need to lean towards the trip side if I'm a safety, so I can cover that 3 down the middle, and just think different things like that. So I try as much as I can to help them think critically. Because it's, I mean, wrestling is the same way. It's like, I can't be out there on the field with you on a Friday night. You know, there are going to be certain situations where you're going to thrown into, where I'm not going to be able to hold your hand, and you're going to have to think critically about, you know, all the kind of stuff that we have worked on. So, I mean, especially on the defensive side, it's all about reacting. And so we try to keep stuff as simple as possible. But I mean, if on a Friday night, I have to think about where I'm aligning, or I have to think about, you know, who's going on this different call, then I'm just going to play, you know, very slow. So I think as much as I can, trying to prepare them beforehand to learn how to think on their own and answer that why question. So it kind of gets driven into them a lot sooner than it would be if I'm just spoon feeding everything to them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And that's how you get a deeper understanding right there, right? Whenever you know the why, mm-hmm. behind, truly start to learn. So I love, man, that you said, like, you guys just, you endorse and you promote, like, hey, be kids, right? I mean, I think we lose that some right now in sports. It's like, we got to kind of keep up with the Jones, like, oh man, like, yep. This program, they're doing like morning weights, and then they're doing skills and drills, and they got 7-on-7, they got thud games, like, and all of a sudden, that's just for one sport. And then you got the multi-sport stuff, and now their summer's packed, and they get to the season and they're worn out, you know? So, like, hey, man, yep. It's something I know I did not do well enough growing up, or like in college as an athlete, is like, find some hobbies, man. Find some things that you love and that you want to do outside of your sport to one, develop as a person, and two, like, just enjoy life a little bit. And later on down the road, maybe you can still be doing some of those hobbies, right? So I found disc golf when I very first started coaching. Or I guess like my college wrestling career. And then that was fun. I'd never done that before in my life, right? So it was a nice little hobby to be able to have. So yeah, living life a little bit and be a kid, enjoy it. So because sometimes we swing the pendulum like to extremes.
Seriously, like,
yeah. We don't want kids partying and being crazy. So we're like, oh, you got to be strict and you got to be this, this, and this. Like, and then we forget, like, man, sometimes they just want to hang out with their buddies, you know, and listen to music and hang out. So that's good too. I love it.
Yeah. There was a baseball manager. I can't remember what his name was, but he basically said, kids have like an 8-year candle to burn. And once you burn it, it's done. And, you know, nowadays with kids starting travel ball a lot sooner, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I think if you do it right, it can be a good thing. But man, you think about that. If you're starting at 8, 9, 10 years old and grinding the way some people want to grind, and by the time you're you know, 16, 17 years old, before you get to be a senior, you're already burnt out. And I see that in kids sometimes, and it kind of breaks my heart that, you know, they're in high school and they're, you know, having surgeries from wear and tear that they shouldn't be having because they've been playing so long. It's like, man, yeah, just give your body some rest. We got a kid right now that pretty highly recruited, that, you know, sophomore, he's going to be a senior, but his sophomore season was kind of, threw a wrench in it because of, he was dealing with some wear and tear injuries just from playing, you know, year round, different things like that. And now last year he's had, you know, he allowed his body some rest over the summer and, you know, worked on developing some of those functional things in the weight room and set himself up for some success, in the fall. So I think, man, that off season time is so important. Not just for the physical rest, but I think more so just the mental break. So you can go back to enjoying what sports are. It's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to enjoy being out there. It should be having a smile on your face. Obviously you got to work hard. Obviously there's a grind to it. That's going to teach you a lot about life, but man, I think a lot of people forget that, man, being on the baseball diamond, you know, being on the football field on the mat, it's supposed to be fun. There's supposed to be joy involved in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Love it. So that's a very good message. So I'm hoping that coaches and athletes and parents and people that hear that, like, take that to heart, because it's vitally important, right? We want to be great athletes, but man, there's got to be some joy in it, and you got to love what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you walk in a little bit hungry to play that football season, that's what we want, right? You walk in a little bit hungry to wrestle that wrestling season or basketball, like, that's what we want right there. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right, well, let's, you know, you mentioned it earlier, but so you gave your life to Christ, and that has kind of changed the direction of your life, and influenced what you're doing now. But so tell me that story.
Yeah. So, 5 second version, I was dead in my sin and God made me alive in Christ, but a little bit longer version. Man, I grew up in church. I grew up, acknowledging, you know, the existence of God, consider myself to be a pretty good person. And I thought those things made me a Christian, but, it really wasn't until I got to K-State. Obviously I had a ton of success on the field, but I look back and I'm, you know, the most meaningful part of my time there in Manhattan was I had a few teammates on my team that really began kind of sowing gospel seed into my life. And, you know, I was talking about Morgan Burns and Blake Slaughter and Alex Rebeck. Some of the K-State fans would know those names, but those guys are really faithful in witnessing to me during that time. And they were kind of known as the Jesus guys on the team. And, you know, I'm over here thinking I'm a follower of Christ, but they're just taking it a little bit more seriously than I am. But I mean, I could tell that for them, it wasn't just I go to church on a Sunday, but these guys were living, you know, radically different. And so those gospel seeds kind of started being sown into my life there in Manhattan. Got that opportunity with the Saints and that got cut short. But there were some guys, Benjamin Watson down there, Luke McCown, that were really adamant about reaching people for Jesus, which was, you know, brand new for me as well during that time. And so some of those seeds were being watered. And at the conclusion of my football career, my wife and I decided to move back, and because we weren't sure if I was going to get a call or not. And so I was kind of coming back and working out and getting into teaching and coaching. And we got plugged into a solid church and a small group. And again, God surrounded me with some very faithful people in my life that showed me what it looked like to follow Christ. And it was that fall around 2016, kind of when the gospel really took root. I'd always understood and believed in my head that Jesus died on the cross, but it didn't move to my heart. It didn't really change the way that I lived. I knew of him. I could tell you facts about him, but I didn't truly know him. And for the first time, I saw my sin and saw, man, if Jesus really died on the cross and rose from the grave, that should change everything about the way that I live my life. And so got baptized that fall, which was a huge point of surrender for me. And my passions and desires began changing. I began to have a hunger to know God and to dig into his word, which, you know, I had owned a Bible before. It's kind of my good luck charm. I'd keep it on my nightstand, you know, take it on the plane with me so we wouldn't crash, you know, going to away games and things like that. Just a good luck charm. But for the first time, scriptures kind of came to life and had a desire to know God. And, you know, the sin that I used to really enjoy began turning away from those things and really had a strong desire to share Jesus with other people, which is not natural for me. I'm introverted by nature. And, you know, the thought of just talking to people in general about anything is sometimes hard for me. But I began to see a man, Jesus really changed my life. And so I want other people to know that as well. And so that really started influencing how I was coaching and teaching and interacting with some of my players. And then that's kind of what led into FCA. I kind of had a a pull towards ministry and had zero idea what that was going to look like. And ended up getting connected with my boss now. And so FCA has kind of been the blend of the world of sports and the world of Jesus together. So it's been a really, really cool journey. And my wife and I both were high school sweethearts. And so we've pretty much been through every stage of life together. And she kind of came to Christ around the same time. So that's been a really huge blessing for us. And now having two children, getting to pour into them spiritually and set that foundation for them has been a joy.
Yeah, that's huge. I gave my life to Christ when I was 19 years old. And, you put reading your Bible, and it's amazing. Like, when you actually decide, like, hey, I think I want to be a Jesus follower. I think I really want to be in on this thing. And you start to read your Bible, all of a sudden, like, it comes alive for you and it starts to change your heart. And I know, to me, like, prior, I think my sophomore year or my junior year in high school, I was just like, I think I'm going to be a Christian. Like, I'm going to start trying to live right. Right. And I was just trying to live right. And I was still a mess, but try to do it off of discipline,
Yep.
And it's like, once you make that heart decision and then you get in the word, it's crazy how God uses it to start changing you. But so tell me a little bit about, because there's many people listening to this that know, who have stories, who have experiences in Fellowship Christian Athletes, right? They know exactly what FCA is. And then there's going to be other people who say, like, I'm not sure what is that. So what do you do with FCA? And what are some of the things that you love about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we minister to coaches and athletes. We're a sports ministry. A lot of people have zero idea what we do, zero idea that you can even be on staff. I ran into a lot of that when I was joining staff. And I think the easiest thing is to separate our ministry into three different environments. We have camp ministry, we have huddle ministry, and then we have one-on-one kind of discipleship ministry. And so camp ministry for us, we do a lot of sports camps, especially in my region. We do a lot of sports camps in the summer. We have a fall and a spring state conference that we invite coaches and athletes to. And camp ministry, really, you understand this as a coach, former athlete. It's like we're inviting them into an environment that they're passionate about. Like, they want to get better on the field. We want to help them get better on the field, on the diamond, on the mat. But, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, I became all things to all people. To the Jews, I became a Jew. To the Gentiles, I became a Gentile, that I may reach them for Christ. And so I think camp ministry is some of our best seed sowing opportunities that we get in FCA, because we want to put on a good quality camp. But at the same time, we get to now gather a bunch of coaches and athletes and say, man, this is who Jesus is. This is what he did for you. This is what it means to follow him. And so it's a really, I think, unique way to connect coaches and athletes to our ministry. The other cool part about that, I could care less about putting on a camp and then forgetting about it, moving on. Hooray, we did it. It's like, we want to promote follow-up with them. So we get a Bible into every single camper's hands. We get other resources into their hands that, can help them along in their journey towards Christ. And so a great kind of connecting point, because a lot of those coaches and athletes, I think, probably wouldn't, come to a FCA huddle or any other environment like that, might not make it to a youth group. But it's a very unique way to kind of reach them right where they're at. So we're gearing up for a lot of summer camps this summer in my region. So super excited about that. Huddle ministry. So most people that are familiar with FCA, if they said, man, I got an FCA at my school, they're talking about a huddle. So huddles are kind of our on-campus Bible studies. And most people don't understand, like, we're legally allowed to be on campuses, which is kind of surprising, but student-led organization. So we try to equip coaches and athletes to run those huddles solidly in their area. So huddles kind of is a connecting point for a local coach or a local athlete to have an environment where they can really grow in their faith on a consistent basis, week to week, bi-weekly, once a month, depending on the school and their context. And then we do some one-on-one discipleship. And so obviously, those type of environments allow us to really go deep with the coach or an athlete and help them along in their discipleship journey. And we always talk about our E3 ministry. So we engage, we equip, and we empower. So we want to engage coaches and athletes with the gospel. We want to equip them to know him and honor him in their lives. And then we want to empower them to use that platform to reach other people in their context. So I was an area representative, what we call an area rep, for the first like 3.5 years. And so I was doing camps, huddles, and one-on-one discipleship, mainly in Manhattan Junction City. And then this last spring, about a year ago, I moved into an area director role, as you introduced me. So now I'm in charge of my North Central Kansas region, hiring staff, getting more laborers to the harvest, and, you know, board development, donor development, make sure ministry is happening in our areas. But what's really cool about FCA is, man, people always ask me, what do you do? And it's like, man, it depends on the week. I mean, it's kind of seasonal. There's some weeks where it's heavy focus on huddle ministry, especially in the fall as we're kicking those school, that the school year's kicking off. Camp ministry, heavy in the summer. I do a lot of speaking on my own, just with the platform I've had. And then you sprinkle in there one-on-one discipleship throughout the year. So it's really kind of cool. We get to really see the need and find the open door and run through it and take the gospel to coaches and athletes. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. It's a great explanation. I love that, breaking it down in those three categories, you know, that you're doing. So talking about speaking real quick, I do a lot of keynote speaking and public speaking. It's something I love to do. It's funny too, because you said earlier you're introverted, and so am I. Here we are, like, on a podcast, right? We both do a lot of speaking. And I'm always kind of teased with my wife, and she's actually a pretty good speaker, but I'm like, if we walked into a room of 15 people we didn't know, like, I'm looking for a cauliflower to ear. Or I'm like looking down at my phone, right? Like, I'm not going to, like, jump in. My wife, on the other hand, would have 15 friends in the next 20 minutes, right? So she'd know everybody. Yeah. But I can go stand on front of a stage of 2,000 people and speak, and it doesn't bother me. Like, I love it. So there's different kinds of, I think, like, being introverted or gifts and abilities that you have. But so tell me a little bit about, like, whenever you get to go speak to groups or speaking in places, like, what are some of the things that you enjoy about that experience?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. If anybody was listening or anybody knew me growing up and knew I was speaking, they would be like, what are you? There's no way. Right. Because, I mean, public speaking, like, people say this all the time, it's kind of cliche, but I'm being legit here. Public speaking was my number one fear growing up. I mean, I hated attention. I remember my college speech class in high school being just drenched in sweat as I'm in the front. People are looking at me. And so never would have imagined I'd be in ministry. Never would have imagined I'd be, you know, speaking like this. And Paul, the scripture that always comes to mind is Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about the thorn in his flesh. And scholars aren't quite sure, was it a health issue? Was it something else? But he's like, man, I pleaded with God three times to remove it from me. And God's reply to him was, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So he's like, therefore, I'm going to boast of my weaknesses so that Christ's power rests on me. And that's really how I feel with speaking. I feel the most vulnerable as I'm up in front of people. But it's hard to describe in words the presence of the Holy Spirit that I feel when I'm speaking. Now, if you were to ask me to give a speech on football, I would really struggle with that. But if I can get up there and talk about Jesus and what he's done in my life and open up his word, I could talk for as long as you want me to, which is interesting, because when I interviewed for this FCA job, I remember there was a guy in the interview who said, hey, are you okay with public speaking? And I just kind of gave the cliche, yeah, I'm good, you know, answer. And my boss was like, you know, he's probably not going to do much speaking with this role. It's more going to be, like, you know, huddles and one-on-one stuff. But as soon as I took it, I had some youth pastor friends. As soon as they knew I was in ministry, they asked me to do, hey, we're doing a kick off the year event. We want to have a guest speaker. Would you come and speak? And my heart sank. And I was like, man, okay, whatever. How long do you want me to speak? And they said 20 minutes. That's 20 minutes. What am I going to say for 20 minutes? But as soon as I took the mic and started talking, I mean, the calm, the power, you know, the spirit kind of took over. And ever since then, so now I'm to the point where if you tell me I got 20 minutes, it's like, how am I going to fit all of that I want to say into 20 minutes. So it's been cool for me. And my wife, you know, has been in this journey. So she knows how I feel about it. And it's just been really cool how God has kind of used what I would consider a big weakness to, you know, to glorify himself. And, you know, I always really struggled when I was in college, kind of being known as Ty the football guy. And, you know, Junction City is a 6A town, but it's kind of a smaller 6A town. And so I'm, you know, pretty well known around here, but I just really struggled with the attention. But now looking back, like, now that I'm in Christ and now that I'm in ministry, I realized that, you know, that was never about me. It was never about growing my own platform or building my own little kingdom that was going to fade at some point. It was all for the sole purpose of having an open door now to talk about Jesus. And because right, wrong, or indifferent, for whatever reason, if people know that you're the K-State guy, you know, former player, you made it to the NFL, it's like you automatically kind of have an open door. You kind of have some favor with people, especially kids. They want to listen to what you have to say. And so it's provided a really, really cool open door for me to take the gospel into. So I can say now that I really enjoy it. At the time, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I first started, probably not, but I really enjoy it now.
That's awesome, man. That's a cool story to hear that transition, you know. And I always feel like, and people listen to this podcast, heard me say this a million times, like, you can't fake passion. Like, people are going to hear it, you know. And so when you're passionate about something, you're passionate about Jesus, it's easy to talk about, like you said. And then when the Holy Spirit's moving on you, it's easy to talk about. And, you know, it's like when I think about public speaking. Now, sometimes you could just jump up, you know, impromptu and speak on something that you're passionate about. But for the most part, it's like anything else in life, right? You put in work, you figure out exactly what you talk about, you write it down, maybe you practice it or whatever, and then you go do it. And I also often think about this, I'm like, all right, I've wrestled in front of thousands upon thousands of people with someone trying to tear my head off. Like, at least someone's trying to tear my head off when I'm up speaking. It's not, but you know, you played in front of just stadiums of people, so now you're just speaking in front of people. You know, it's not no one's out there trying to run you over. So
yeah, that's a good point. I've always wondered how I played in front of that many fans, but I guess, like, I know, you know, like when you're in competition mode, you just don't really think about it. I mean, I remember playing Jerry World and, you know, 100,000 fans in there, and it's like, it just kind of just a sea of blur. You don't really think about it. So yeah, it's kind of come full circle for me, which has been really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, all right. Well, who we're going to start to kind of narrow this out and ask some shorter questions here. But outside of your dad, who has been your best coach?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say probably Tom Hayes. He's my D coordinator, defensive back coach, my sophomore through senior year at K-State. He had a lot of NFL experience. I mean, he coached Champ Bailey and some of those guys, Sean Taylor. He coached Sean Taylor in the Pro Bowl. So he had a lot of that kind of experience. But he was really the first coach that I was around that really brought kind of the professional mindset into the day-to-day work. And he was really – I mean, he was so in tune to the fine details, to the point where, like, you know, we'd get our grade sheets every Sunday after a game, and you know, if I'm supposed to be at 10 yards as a safety and I'm at 10 and a half or 11, I get a minus on my sheet. And we get minus for loafs, all that kind of stuff. And I could never really figure out why. My first couple of years, I honestly didn't like him too much. I'm like, man, why is he hounding me about this kind of stuff? And then I got to my junior, you know, later on junior, senior year, started looking back at some of my freshman, sophomore film. And I'm like, man, I was just out there just kind of playing, you know, playing on a whim, thought I knew everything. So really kind of learning from a guy, again, from a, you know, guy from the professional background. He knew what it take to succeed. That really taught me about how important those small details are. I mean, those, the greatest athletes you see, I mean, everybody watches like Steph Curry or LeBron or whatever. I remember hearing a story about Kobe, a guy going to watch his workout, and the guy was pretty like underwhelmed by what he was doing. And I think Kobe's reply was something like, you know, I'm so great because I do the little things right. You know, I do these small little details right. And so, you know, everybody thinks you have to have this new drill or this new thing. It's not really about that. It's about doing the small things over and over and over and over and over until they become second nature. So Coach Hayes really, really taught me that. And it's really cool because some of his, you know, phrases and some of the things he was pouring into me when I was at K-State are some of the same things I kind of share with guys at the high school level now. And they probably don't get it, but at some point it'll click for them like it clicked for me. So I'd probably say Coach Hayes.
Awesome. Excellent. Yeah. Details, details, details. I preach it all the time. Tell me, you know, someone who's just a beginner or not very good, like, there's not a whole lot of difference in some of the moves they're using between the guy who's good and the guy who's above average and the guy who's great, except for details, details, details. And as you get better and better, you get stronger in those areas. So awesome. If you could put a label on it, all right. God's given us all gifts and abilities, and we're able to use these to glorify him. But I want to call it your genius. What would you say your genius is?
Man, that's a really good question. I mean, I think I have a strong desire to teach the word of God. I mean, I think I have kind of a teaching gift, which is strange again to say. You would ask me this 10 years ago, I'd have probably said something completely different, but I just have a really big passion for me and seeing the word of God upheld and taught correctly and truth being proclaimed and all those kind of things. And so I think that's why I'm so passionate about speaking and getting those opportunities. Even now, like in camp ministry and huddle ministry and one-on-one, I feel like I'm always just trying to point people to the word of God, because it doesn't come back void and, you know, sharper than any double-edged sword, and going to, you know, divide joint and marrow, as Hebrews says. And so, I think I kind of have that gift of teaching and kind of leading people that way. So that's probably what I said.
On this next one, tell me about all three if you want, or you can just pick one. All right. So I call these your three H's. So tell me about a hero, hardship, or a highlight in your life, or a little of each. Hero, hardship, highlight.
Hero, hardship, highlight. Obviously the word hero gets thrown around a lot. I think seeing my wife right now, as a mother, has been really impactful for me. And that might sound weird to some people, but, you know, I mentioned high school sweethearts have been together, most of our lives. And so been through a bunch of different stages. She started staying home, with our daughter when she was about a year and a half. And now my daughter's 7, my son's, about to turn 5. And so she's been home this whole time. She teaches there. She coaches cross country and track and has some photography stuff on the side, but she really pours into our kids at home. We got into the homeschool thing last year. And so she's been doing that for a couple of years. And so seeing her kind of grind on a day-to-day basis, I was telling her one time she had a commitment for like a full day. This was a couple months ago. And so I had kind of the responsibility of being around the kids and doing some homeschool with my daughter and, you know, running errands and all that kind of stuff. And at one point I was super just frustrated by, you know, kids weren't listening and all kinds of stuff were going on. And I've never heard God audibly speak. But I did feel like he kind of impressed upon my heart, like, hey, Ty, this is what Mandy goes through, you know, every single day. And that was super impactful for me. And I remember, you know, as she got home, kind of talking to her about that. And so just seeing her kind of lay down her life, I would say, every single day to really care for our kids and to put other people first. I really look up to her, you know, for that. Hardship wise, I think having the 4.5 surgery or the 4 surgeries in 3.5 years was incredibly difficult for me. You know, when I was starting freshman year, sophomore year into junior year, ended up breaking my fibula. It was the 10th game of the season against TCU. And I don't know if you remember, this was 2012. And so Alabama and I think it was Oregon maybe got upset that night, and we beat TCU. And so we were ranked number 1 for 1 week, and then went down to Baylor and got upset. If we would have won out, we would have been in the national championship, I think, against Notre Dame, which would have been a really good matchup for us. But missed the last 2 games of the season, came back for the Fiesta Bowl. Next season, I ended up tearing my labrum and my shoulder against Iowa State, decided I want to play it out till the end of the season, get to the 10th game of the season against TCU again, same type of tackle, other way, broke my right fibula. So I had to miss last 2 games of the season, came back for Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, and then getting surgery, you know, in January on my labrum, that put me behind pro day, put me behind, you know, senior bowl. I couldn't make any of those kind of things. So then kind of getting picked up as a free agent, felt like I, you know, built myself back up, was in really good shape, was making some headway, and then covering a punt against the Rams in preseason for my left labrum. So it was just like back to back to back to back. And at the time I'm like, what is going on? Am I being punished or something? What, you know? And now hindsight, right, I can always see God's provision, his sovereignty over my life. And he was using those things to draw me into him. And even now, being able to relate to people in a unique way, just going through some of those hardships. So I'd say those injuries, that injury bug that kind of plagued me, for those couple of years was really, really difficult. And then highlight wise, really good question. I mean, sports wise, winning the state championship with my dad, obviously you can't really top that, winning the Big 12 championship. But I think now, you know, being in Christ, understanding that nothing else compares to the peace and the joy and the freedom that I have with him and all the sports stuff. I mean, I got rings behind me and trophies and jerseys. That stuff's going to fade. But my relationship with him is eternal. So I think some of the people that I've seen, that I've been able to pour into, that I've seen come to Christ in the last couple of years, far outweighs, you know, the interception record or any of that kind of stuff on the football field. So I think spiritually those kind of things have been my highlight.
That's awesome, man. Those are excellent answers. Excellent. So, man, I tell you what. So my in-laws are K-Staters. Wyatt Hubert played football and wrestled for him. He's one of my guys. Cody Foster, one of my best friends over here, is a huge K-Stater. I've been trying for years not to like K-State. And all you that people keep drawing me in, man. So
it's a good time to be a K-State fan, man.
It is.
Basketball teams, you know, Coach Tang's got it going and Kleiman's got his culture rolling and baseball golf was good this year. My administrative assistant, her husband is the golf coach at K-State, and this is the first time they've been ranked for I don't know how long. And so it's a good time. If you want to join the purple bandwagon, it's a good time to join.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, Kleiman and Tang, man, those guys are making a huge impact right now, like a major impact, which is incredible.
It's awesome. I mean, we're talking this whole podcast, we've been talking about building up athletes. I think it's a testament to just what culture does. I mean, how important it is and how much it trickles down. And yeah, it's amazing how a coach can come in and change pretty much the whole DNA of everything and how that, you know, the influence on fans and community and all kinds of stuff. So it's been fun to watch.
Powerful, man. Very powerful. So, all right. I don't always ask this question, but I got to ask you, I know you're a guy who's highly educated and probably likes to read. I know you read your Bible. Outside of the Bible, what's probably your favorite book or maybe a book that's been highly influential on you?
That's another, you got some good questions. I'll name off a few. Knowing God by J.I. Packer. I highly, highly recommend that. That's one of those books that you read a section or you read a page and you kind of got to put it down and just chew on it for a while. I mean, that's a pretty deep one. Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders. That's a leadership book, but from the Christian perspective. I don't know if you read that one, but that one really impacted me, especially as I first came on staff with FCA. And then this is kind of somewhat random, I guess, but there's a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And that one's just, how do you follow Jesus in light of just this hurried, overly rushed culture that we live in? And so I'd say that's probably one of the most practical books I've read. He's got a podcast out as well with another guy who wrote Jefferson Bethke, who wrote a book very similar to that. So just trying to imitate the lifestyle of Jesus, the unhurried, unrushed lifestyle, be present with God, present with people at all times, and trying to implement some of those things even within our family. So I'd say those three. I could throw in probably a bunch of others, but those three come to mind for sure.
Awesome, man. So I love hearing. It's funny because I did not like reading growing up. Like I only read whatever.
Me neither.
Whatever was assigned, you know. And
my reading was like East Bay books, East Bay magazines. I'd read the description of the shoes and circle them, and that's about all I did.
Yep, same here. But I love to hear because I love to read now, and I love to hear, especially on the books I haven't read yet, right? So I can add those to the collection and educate myself in those areas. So excellent. Well, Ty, how can people get a hold of you, whether that's an email address or a social media? What's the best way if somebody wants to say, like, hey, I want to connect with this guy and maybe find out a little bit more about him, or I want to learn about FCA or whatever?
Yeah, for sure. I would love to connect. I'm on Facebook. I'm not on social media a ton, but I have to have Facebook for work. So you can just search Ty Zimmerman and message me on there. I check it, you know, a couple times a week. And then probably the best way, though, email. It's just tzimmerman@fca.org. And they can reach out there. And yeah, would love to connect with anybody who wants to follow up.
Awesome. And I will put that in the, I'll put your social media and I'll put your email in the show notes so people can go right there and click on it and get a hold of you. So with Ty, man, it's been a blessing, you know, getting to speak with you, learn more about your life. You're an inspiration. I'm excited to get to work with you some more in FCA, and I'm excited to share this with the people that are listening.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to serving with you and doing ministry with you.
Sir, so awesome. All right. Well, everybody, this has been another episode of Perspective Podcast with Coach P. We've had Ty Zimmerman on today. If you would, take this and share it with somebody else who may be inspired or maybe need the inspiration. And if it speaks to your heart, and let it speak to somebody else's heart as well. So may God smile upon you. Until next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I'd like to encourage you to go over to fluxfootwear.com. Flux Footwear, the Flux Adapt is one of my favorite shoes. These things are an everyday wear. You can also wear them in fitness. Very light, stylish, unique. I'm a pretty minimalist shoe kind of guy, and Flux Footwear basically checks off every single box I'm looking for. So go check them out. And if you use the code COACHP10, that is COACHP10, you'll get yourself a 10% discount on the Flux Adapt shoe at fluxfootwear.com.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.